talking about, are you going with Jesus? And I want to start out reading a story of three different people, two volunteers and one that was asked by the Lord to follow him. And we're going to follow their lives a little bit and see how it relates to our lives. So Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another man said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Father, as we study your word tonight, I pray with all my heart, Lord, you'll have us examine our own heart. Are we going to stop being a fan and become an actual follower of Jesus Christ? Father, work in us and then work through us for your glory. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and Corinth was probably the most carnal. It was the most gifted spiritually, but the most carnal of all the churches that Paul wrote to. And he wrote to them in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. He said, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." In high school, I hated tests. And the major reason I hated tests in high school is because I never took time to prepare for tests. I was not crazy about school. I was really good. And in fact, I just told one of my grandsons, he's going to be a seventh grader this year. And I said, you know, up until the seventh grade, I was a B student all the way through. And the seventh grade is when girls got cute. And from that point on, my grades went downhill. I didn't care about anything but girls. Girls, girls, girls. That's all that mattered. And so every time I would take a test, I was always ill-prepared, and I did not like taking tests. Out of my graduating class of about 90 people, I was probably about 54 on the list. I didn't even care enough to know where I was on the list because it didn't matter because there's four more years of school. But we are all taking a test, and we have to examine ourselves. We have to look at ourselves and say, am I truly in Jesus Christ? Because this isn't a test that you're preparing for, that you're going to pass this test and you still got four more years. This is the test that's going to make the difference of eternity. Where you and I are going to spend eternity depends upon, are we in Christ? And is he in us? Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. We have to be born in his family. Remember in Matthew 7, we don't have it in the notes, but in Matthew 7, 21, Jesus said, many are going to come to me in that day and are going to say, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And we did it all in your name. And Jesus' response is going to be what? I never knew you. Imagine that. Never part of the family. Good people. I want to tell you, there are some wonderful, wonderful people. They've been in church every week, almost all their life. They got baptized. They got christened. They got whatever they got. Given money to the church all those years, serving meals to people. But if they never receive Christ, they're going to fail the test. Our Lord wants us to be not only a Christian, that's step one, but he wants us to move from being a fan to getting involved in being a follower of Christ. Fans that are at a ball game, what part do they take in the game? They watch. They watch and they cheer. That's what you do. The players that are actually on the field are the ones that really play the game. There are a lot of people that attend churches regularly, but they never take part in the actions of the church and the actions of Jesus Christ. They're fans, not followers. So we're going to look at these three men that we read about in Luke chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 57. It's so important that we look at ourselves and say, am I a fan or am I an actual follower? Because Jesus is talking about three different people here. The call has gone out. One volunteered, two were requested to follow. But as far as we know, the sadness is, it doesn't look like any of them did. So we'll start with number one in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Each one of those three men represent people today. They represent most of the people today that we would call fans. Two of the men came as volunteers. One came by the request of Jesus. But each of those three men pose a question for each of us tonight. Number one, will you go with Jesus wherever? The first man volunteered, I'll go with you wherever. But then Jesus said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It's going to cost you to follow him. Most control freaks, and I say people that want to know where they're going before they go, won't follow Jesus very far because you never know when he's going to take you to another place. When the sheep are out getting their food and their water, and the shepherd looks and says, okay, it's time to move on. Are the sheep ready to move on? Usually not. There's good water here. There's good food here. But the shepherd looks a little bit ahead and he says, you know, if you guys keep eating that grass, you're going to ruin it. And if you keep going in that water and pooing in the water like you do, that water's not going to be fit to drink. It's time for us to move. Who knows more about that, the sheep or the shepherd? We certainly hope the shepherd. Who knows more in your life when it's time to move? Wherever sounds really good. At the end of a service, if somebody would come up and say, I'll follow the Lord wherever he leads, you'll get an applause. But when he starts to lead you in a direction you don't want to go, do you still mean it? Because Jesus is going to take you places where you're not going to want to go. He told the Apostle Peter what? He said, Peter, in your old age, somebody's going to take you to a place you don't want to go. He's going to die on the cross. Peter was. He's going to die the same way the Lord did, except that Peter, by that time, had become so sad about his failures, he asked them to crucify him upside down, from what history tells us. So it's really something. When Jesus asks us to follow him, what are the boundaries? Does he give us boundaries that he says, I'll ask you only to go here or there? Or does he have the right as Lord to take you wherever he wants you to go? Our problem is, I'll follow you if it's convenient. I'll do what you want if it fits into my schedule. Who's supposed to be in charge of our schedule? Is it us or is it him? And the sad thing is, for most people, it's me. What if the Lord were to say, I want you to leave Michigan and I want you to prepare yourself to go to Alaska? I've got an indigenous tribe up there that's never heard the gospel, and I want you to take the gospel to them. What would your answer be? And then what should your answer be? Because our answer may not be what it should be. I know some of you would say, well, I'm not prepared. I couldn't do it. Well, if Jesus calls you, he'll prepare you. The answer should always be yes. What if the Lord were to call you to start attending Wednesday night service or Sunday night service? And I know you look around and you look at who's here and there aren't too many. Well, it's even more so on Wednesday night. You look around and you say, Lord, would you have me do that? It might be a question you might want to ask yourself. So the question is, God calls us to change. He never wants you to stay the same as you are. Now, he loves you just the way you are, as we said this morning, but he loves you too much to stay where you are. When we get to our wherever, we have to ask ourselves, if we refuse to move, when God says it's time to move, will he leave us behind? And the answer to that question is pretty clear when you look at Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. The rich young ruler, as far as we know, never came back to Jesus. His where was too much for this man. He had so much wealth that he couldn't bear to part with it. And so the question for us on that idea is there anything holding you back from a total commitment to Christ? The second man, will you go with Jesus whenever? And this is just as important as the wherever. In verse 59 of Luke chapter 9, verse 59, he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. It's the same call that he gives to you and me. And believe it or not, it's the same call that he gave to the 12 apostles. Follow me, but don't wait until tomorrow. When Jesus calls, it's now. It's not, Lord, when it's convenient. It's right now. Now, I review the 28 years I've been a pastor at this church, and I look at the lives of the people that have been here over 28 years, and one of the things I see is that death takes people at just a moment's notice. Sometimes there's no forewarning whatsoever, and people are just gone. We get a chance to follow every single day, but there's going to come a day when your opportunities to serve the Lord on this earth are going to come to an end. The word follow me are simple to say and they're simple to hear, but they're not easy to do. Jesus said, unless a man or woman dies to themselves, they can't be my disciple. Do dead people decide where they're going to go? Dead people just go where whoever's carrying them takes them. If we're dead to self, Christ can move us any way he wants to move us. But if we're not dead to ourselves, sometimes we get belligerent. He simply had this man said, yes, I'll follow you. We might know his name. But as far as we know, the man never did follow, and nobody knows his name. I don't know what your reason or excuse is, but the man seemed to have a valid excuse. He seemed like a pretty good family man. Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And you think to yourself, well, this man's dad probably died then, and it is important to go to your own dad's funeral. The sad thing is, the history of the thing tells us that men didn't leave the family until after the dad had died, and family came first. I can't tell you how many Christians I know that would love to be in church on Sunday, but we got this activity and the sports and the kids, and there's a zillion excuses, and sometimes it's a real good reason. Sometimes we do the same thing. We go on vacation. We try to go to church wherever we are, but sometimes even that doesn't work. But there are people that miss church for months at a time because we got this and we got this and we got that and the other thing. Folks, one of these days, all those excuses are going to be gone. When Jesus called his apostles in Matthew 4, verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. They were busy. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. I hope you get the idea here. What Jesus is looking for each of us to do is say, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go, and I'll follow you whenever you want me to go. The apostles got up and left. The next verse says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Folks, it's so important for us to keep our ears tuned to the Lord. He may call you to something you don't even think about. He knows what's best for you. He knows where he needs you in his kingdom work. Be ready to obey. When the man got the word from Jesus to follow him, the first word that he used is totally excellent. The first word he said is Lord. He recognized who Jesus was. He was Lord. It's like a slave. And the master of the slave says, I want you to go to that field and hoe over there. And the servant says, wait a minute. I got what I want to do is over here. And the master says, who's in charge here? When Jesus called Peter and his brother Andrew, they did what? Immediately left their nets. They were busy. They were fishermen. They immediately left it and followed him. When he called James and John, they immediately left and followed, and we know all their names, we know what happened. So the first thing the man said, Lord, was the right thing. But the second thing he said, first, I've got something more important right now than to follow you. First, let me go and bury my father. Folks, when we put anything before our responsibility to the Lord, we've got our priorities out of whack. And I know that can mess up your family time. That can mess up all kinds of things. But the Lord wants us to be those that say, whatever you say, Lord, is what I want to do. You may not want to hear the truth, but here's the truth in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. This is the first and second of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Our Lord says, first obey me, and now obey me. Folks, we don't get a choice in this thing. If he really is Lord, he gets first dibs on all of our time and all of our talents. And I know that's not the way it's usually done, but that's what he expects. Third, the man used the response, and the fact is his dad probably was not dead, because people didn't leave home until dad did die. Dad came first. Outside of a bum knee or an aching back, his dad was probably a pretty healthy man. It might have been 10 years before his dad died. The Lord is not interested in those that say, later, I'll make a full commitment later. But right now, I got family, I got responsibilities, I have to do what I have to do. The Lord's looking for those who will say, Lord, no matter what this cost me, you are Lord. I remember when I first got called to the pastorate. I told my dad, he wasn't overly enthused. I told Mimi's dad, and he was even less enthused. We had a little go-round about that. Because I said, if the Lord really called me, Walt, I don't have any recourse but to do what he's telling me to do. He said, but you're a family man now. Yes, I am a family man. But family must come second. And that doesn't mean I ignored my children. It means I did take care of them and I did spend time with them, but the Lord has to come first. And it's a sad thing, I see so many people won't do it. Fans usually believe, fans who are just followers, the viewers from the distance, they really believe a lukewarm relationship with the Lord is quite satisfying to the Lord. If I just do most of what he says, he's very happy, because most people won't even do that. The Lord told one of the churches, the church at Laodicea, because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but I don't like lukewarm drinks. I don't like water lukewarm. I don't like tea lukewarm. I want it hot or I want it cold. Nothing in between. The Lord wants either all your heart or none of your heart. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, it says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in a time of my favor, I heard you. And the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. For years, we sang, Jesus is tenderly calling them home. Calling today. He calls today for today. He doesn't call you tomorrow, he calls you today. And he expects your response to be, yes, sir. He gives you an RSVP, and it's dated today. And he wants the response today. It's so important, today, not tomorrow. We need to surrender. Maybe there's a secret sin in your life that the Lord is telling you, you need to deal with this thing. Well, I'm planning on it, Lord, tomorrow. You don't even know if you have tomorrow. I want you to talk to this person about salvation. Maybe tomorrow, Lord. Today I got this going on. You may not have tomorrow, and that fellow may not have tomorrow. Two of the men that I witnessed to at Plant 2 when I was working at Steering Gear, two young men in their early 20s, both of them died driving their Corvettes, different times, but both of them within about a half a year. Didn't have tomorrow. They had today. And then the last man, the third man. The question is, will you go with Jesus whatever? The third man in our text resembles the second man, except the third man, again, volunteers. The second man was called, follow me. This man comes and volunteers. But he wants to say goodbye to his family first. Now, Larry's a farmer. I grew up on a farm, too, and I remember as a boy having my dad tell me, when you go out to plow the field, fix your eyes on a tree at the other end of the field and keep your eyes on the tree. Because if you start looking around, and especially if you look behind, what's going to happen to your row? It's going to start doing this. We are told in the scriptures to keep our eye on Jesus Christ all the time. Now, that doesn't mean you don't pay attention to your children, to your wife, to your husband, to your family, to your friends. But it means you always have to have one eye on Christ. Because as soon as you start putting your children, your husband, your wife, your friends before the Lord, your job before the Lord, or anything else before the Lord, you're going to start plowing crooked. Jesus told that man, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of serving in the kingdom of God. Look at it in Luke chapter 9, verse 61. Still another said, Lord, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is painting an agricultural picture because it was an agricultural community. They all understood this. Whether they were behind oxen or behind horses or whatever they used to plow with, you've got to keep your eyes in the distance. If you start looking backwards, same thing with driving a car. You're driving down the road, but you always got your eyes on the rearview mirror. What happens? You're going to go off the road. Pure and simple. The rearview mirror is small because it's not that important. What's important is what's in front of you. And in front of all of us should be the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we tend to go forward and we're looking backward, we're heading for an accident. And what the Lord wants us to do is to fix our eyes on Him. Fans will say, I'll give you anything and everything. But then when he points out that anything and everything in our life, well, not that, the rich young ruler, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? But when Jesus put his finger on that thing, that one thing he would not do. And so we have to ask ourselves, what's our one thing that we're refusing to do that our Lord wants us to do? Interesting thing, the Knights of Templar, some of you know, it's one of those forbidden groups that were not supposed to belong to secret societies. But the Knights of Templar were the warriors for the Catholic Church. And the Knights of Templar, when they would get baptized into the faith, it was kind of interesting because the Catholic Church, when it first started out, did baptize by immersion. The Knights of Templar would take their sword, take it out of the scabbard, and as they went under the water, they would hold the sword out of the water, signifying, Lord, everything I am is yours except for my sword. Because when I get in the battle, I'm going to be in charge of how I use my sword. Folks, I can't tell you how many Christians, when they get baptized, they have no idea what baptism means. Baptism, really, when you study Romans chapter 6, you'll see it very clearly. It's a death. It's your death. You're saying, I'm dying with Christ and I'm rising to newness of life. Everything goes under the water unless you're like Mimi when she was 9 months expecting when we got baptized with Amy. Pastor Williams couldn't get her belly under the water. But other than that, most of the rest of us, the picture is, it's absolute death. Sadly, it doesn't work out that way in reality. Most Christians have something that they're holding out on. Let me just hit a couple thoughts for you, and you kind of think about it. Is your remote control baptized on your television? In other words, if there's something the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, I don't want you watching that show anymore. Will you surrender that to Christ? When you go on your computer and you go to some sites that maybe you know the Holy Spirit doesn't want you looking at, are you willing to die to yourself and say, my computer's baptized too? Stories told about a man, when he got baptized, he forgot to take his wallet out of his pocket. And he said, you know, that's interesting because I've always had a hard time parting with my money. My wallet is now baptized, and my money is the Lord's. A lot of Christians struggle with that one. They really think, if I hold back on how much I give, I'll have that much more. Do you know what happens? The Lord blows on the money and it doesn't do the job you think it's going to do. We have been giving to the Lord ever since we became a Christian, and on paper it was impossible. It could not be done. But God blessed it, and God has blessed it all these years. You give to the Lord what you and the Lord think is the right thing, and I'm going to guarantee you, he's going to take care of you. He has us. William Borden. Some of you remember the Borden milk line. They were big dairy farmers years ago. But William Borden was born in the late 1800s, and he was the heir to the multi-million dollar Borden Corporation. He graduated from Yale and Princeton, and he was set to take his place on the family business, but he chose to follow Christ. It cost him dearly. I want to explain the story to you. Upon high school graduation, his parents sent him on a tour of the entire world. He went around the world, came back, and on that tour, he received Christ as Savior. And he gave himself to the Lord, and the Lord called him to go to a remote Muslim group of people and give them the gospel. His father told him, "Before you go, I want you to go to college." And so the young man went to Princeton and to Harvard. At Princeton, he started a Bible study, and by the time he graduated Princeton, he had 1,000 young men attending his Bible study. He wrote in his Bible, "No reserve." In other words, he was not going to reserve anything. He was going to follow Christ with all of his heart. His journal read, "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." During those years at Yale, when he was there, his dad died, left him a significant fortune. Graduating from Yale, he wrote two words in his Bible, "No retreat." In other words, I am going to follow Christ all the way. Before going to China, he went to Egypt for language study. And in Egypt, he got spinal meningitis, and he died. He was only in Egypt about a month. They opened his Bible after that, and his Bible, three things were written: no reserve, no retreat, no regret. I can't tell you how many men and women that I know that say, "I wish I would have followed Christ. I knew he called me to this thing or that thing or the other thing, but I kept putting him off." Folks, don't go that route. When you're sure it's the Lord and you're sure he's called you to something, give it your whole heart. Follow him. So the question is, are you going to go with Jesus all the way? He's looking for followers, not fans. A fan is somebody sitting in the spectator area. You watch it happen, you watch the game going on, but you're not active in it. The Lord wants followers who will determine they're going to die to themselves so they can live for him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Many Christians are going to die never having put to the test what God has called them and equipped them to do because they didn't surrender their bodies to Christ. You have the ability right now to say that I am going to follow Christ wherever, whenever, and whatever he calls me to do. It's your choice. Many people are going to stay fans. They don't want to give it their all. When I use my GPS, the first question it asks me is, "Do you want to go from where you are to where you've put in?" And you just hit the button, "Yes, I'm going from where I am to where I want to go." Do you know that God has a place he wants you to go? In Ephesians 2:10, we don't have it in the notes, but it says you are God's creation. created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. God has good works for you. Part of it is your family. There's no doubt about it. He wants you to be the best parents, the best grandparents, and the best great-grandparents you can possibly be. But we need to be careful that those things don't come first. The closing story from Vance Havner. As a boy, a friend used to go with his granddad on excursions. One day, he came over, and the granddad said, "Hey, you want to go with me?" And the grandchild said, "Well, where are you going?" And granddad just left him behind. And the boy later said, "Grandpa, why did you just take off?" He said, "Well, grandson, if you wanted to go with me, it wouldn't matter where I'm going. You just want to go." Folks, people, Christians, "Yes, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, but where are you going? Where are you taking me? I want to know ahead of time. I want to know all the details, because if they don't match my plan, I don't want to do what you want." Folks, as Christians, we have to come to the point of saying, "Lord, whenever, whatever, wherever, I'm yours." And then he can lead us in the path he wants us to go. Father, we're sure grateful for your word. Lord, help us, each and every one of us, to put you first. First before our family. First before our hobbies. First before our jobs. First before anything and everything. Because your word tells us in Romans 12:2 that that's our 12:1, that's our reasonable service. And many Christians will think in their heart, "Why is that reasonable?" Because if you gave up your life for our life, it's only reasonable that we give up our life for your glory. Father, help us in our hearts. If we're not ready to do that, Lord, then make us ready. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.